Hare Krishna, we are starting with the second part of the day 2 Bhakti Shastri course, Nectar of Instruction by His Holiness Bhakti Brihad Bhagavad Swami Maharaj on 6th of November 2013. Hare Krishna.
Okay. It's a practical, interesting topic. We'll have to nicely wind it up. It's very important, extremely important topic. I'm going to just go through some things and I'll take questions again on the topic. Here we have Jiva Vegam Udara Upastha Vegam. And page 9, it's there for you. One may observe that these three senses are physically situated in a straight line as far as the body is concerned, and that the bodily demands begin with the tongue. The bodily demands as a whole begins with the tongue. If one can restrain the demands of the tongue by limiting its activities to the eating of prasad, the edges of the belly and the genitals can automatically be controlled. Can automatically be controlled. It's important. Okay? And there's an important quotation in the epistemology, Prabhupada's books and purports are first. So we took it from the Chaitanya Charitamrita Antya Lila. Translation. When one eats food offered by a materialistic man, one's mind becomes contaminated. And when the mind is contaminated, one is unable to think of Krishna properly. Purport. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur suggests that people who are materialistically inclined and sahajas, or so-called Vaishnavas, who take everything very casually, are both Vishayas or materialists. Pretty heavy. This is not even non-devotees. These are devotees who are practicing something like that. So-called Vaishnavas. Eating food offered by them causes contamination. And as a result of such contamination, even a serious devotee becomes like a materialistic man. One should very carefully avoid associating with both the sahajas, who are sometimes known as Vaishnavas, and the non-Vaishnavas or avaishnavas. Their association changes the transcendental devotional service of Lord Krishna into sense gratification, and when sense gratification enters the mind of a devotee, he is contaminated. The materialistic person who aspires after sense gratification cannot properly think of Krishna. Chaitanya Charitamrita Antya Lila 6.278 is one of the more important quotations, and in epistemology, Prabhupada's purports and books are first in that sense. So just to not change the subject too much, but just to conclude from my side on the discussion like that, you all are aware that in 22nd Avenue, Srila Prabhupada used to have a big jar of gulab jamuns. Why? At the door. Why? Yes. Yes. Srila Prabhupada said something to the effect that although I am chanting here, and he was chanting in 22nd Avenue, he was chanting. He was giving the philosophy like that. And he was writing his books to be printed like that. And it's the same temple, small storefront temple. And something to the effect said, my chanting may fail. My books may fail. My temples may fail, my festivals may fail, but that jar of gulab jamun would never fail. And there are many devotees, when they walked into 26 Second Avenue in the early days, like that, they liked the chanting, but they were akin to being like in a nightclub, you know? And some of them were coming to the early morning session straight from a nightclub, all night. And they were high, some of them with LSD, a drug, they were coming in. Like that. And they were hearing the Swami speak, but they couldn't understand a word, and because of his accent also. Like that. And Prabhupada said, my chief weapon was that jar of gulab jamun. And many devotees attested to this, including one of our senior most sannyasis in ISKCON. His name is His Holiness Trivikram Swami. You know him? Yes. You'll find many pictures with him and Srila Prabhupada. He's still taller and he's hovering over Prabhupada. And many pictures of that, like that. And he attested to this also. He said, some of them, they didn't like the chanting. They didn't like the philosophy. And they said, I am leaving this door, but I'm not coming back here. And they have to go past that jar of gulab jamun. So they take a vow, they leave and they don't come back. Like that. So when they come to the gulab jamuns, they know that Swamiji may be watching them from the corner of the eye. Said, no, I can't go past this. I have to take one last one. I'll leave but I won't come back, but one last one. Prabhupada personally prepared those gulab jamuns. Famous known as ISKCON bullets. Like that. So they'll open the jar, they'll take the, you know, utensil, they'll take out one gulab jamun and they'll eat it. And they won't go out, they'll come back in. They will stay. And many devotees didn't leave because of the jar of gulab jamun. All else may fail, but prasadam never fails. Even with the non-devotees. Like that. Then one time in Gorakhpur, in December 1971, it was the Disciplinary Day of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Like that. And Srila Prabhupada was staying in a house called Sri Krishna Niketan Bungalow, which was belonging to the Gita Press of Hanuman Prasad Poddar. His friends with Prabhupada. Like that. So they observed Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's disappearance day. And Prabhupada said, prepare a big feast and invite, you know, leading people in the Gita Press to come for the festivities, like that. So Prabhupada, he honored the feast later on in his room upstairs. So his servant Nanda Kumar came down. And the devotees asked, what did Prabhupada say about the feast? So Nanda Kumar said that Prabhupada said two things. That his Guru Maharaj was very pleased with us. And secondly, that the feast was so good that he could not control himself, he overate. Prabhupada said, he overate, like that. And in other words, he could not control his tongue. If we have one type of sense gratification, it is to overeat Krishna Prasad, relish Krishna Prasad. That's our only sense enjoyment, and it's bona fide. In that sense. In the early days in Los Angeles, in La Cienega Boulevard, not the present temple in Watsika Avenue, the earlier one, like that. Tamal Krishna Goswami used to be the temple commander there, like that. So one time he went to Prabhupada and he complained. And he said, Srila Prabhupada, these devotees in the temple, when it comes to the Sunday feast, you know, they stuff themselves up so much that it is embarrassing even for the guests to see. Like, in other words, they get khichdi all week and then they get the Sunday feast and they stuff themselves like that. And Srila Prabhupada said, yes, they eat to die. Like that. So there's two philosophies we know. You eat to live and you live to eat. And Prabhupada coined the third one. They eat to die. And then I added to that, not to die again and go back to life. You know, like that. And Prabhupada used to say that overeating is a good fault, is a good mistake for a young person. Overeating is a good mistake for a young person, and undereating is a good mistake for an old person. In that sense. Okay, let's take that discussion further if you want. It's an important topic. You know how movement has moved from ashrams, especially into congregational development. And it's gone like that, and many things have changed. Many things have changed, you know. What we thought were basic standards are now not basic standards anymore. They're like even less, so many things have changed. Like that. Because we used to live in ashrams, and we were, and we still live, very strict, only Krishna Prasad. Only Krishna Prasad, cooked by devotees, served by devotees, even. Like that, very strict. So that's when Prabhupada said, so what do we do? So we have a few questions and comments that's coming up. Some of you came during the break to me. Yes?
I would like to ask, today it used to become in restaurants and even in temple kitchens, the cookers who are not.
In India, right? In India. Yeah. At one time I heard when they asked Srila Prabhupada, and he sort of allowed even Bhagaji, one of his godparents, to cook in Vrindavan, as a hired cook, and getting paid like that. Srila Prabhupada said something like, you know, it's not that you have to, we can apply that in every circumstance also, but I'm just giving you the effect. When I asked Gurudas, he was the first in charge in the Vrindavan temple, like that, with Mother Yamuna. So he said, Prabhupada said something like, he kind of forgot fully, but he remembered some essence of it. So Prabhupada said something like, you know, you can hire a cook, you can hire a temple president, you. We can replace you by hiring a temple president. Okay. Prabhupada said you can hire a GBC member, you can hire a sweeper. Okay. Prabhupada said you can never hire a preacher. Someone who preaches, you can pay him. You can never hire a preacher. He said, for the sake of spreading Krishna consciousness, we may have to do this sometimes. So people are free to go and preach. In that sense. People are free to go and preach. In that sense, we can do that. But in general, we should not apply, if we can get everything done by devotees in general, because the cook also for devotees is Vaishnava Seva in general. That's the answer I got from one of Prabhupada's early disciples, you know, like that, in relation to Vrindavan when he was there. Then another time when I was serving in Vrindavan as a co-president some 13 years ago or so, I looked at Prabhupada's instructions for Vrindavan, you know, clearly. And he said he only wanted Goswami types. You know, those who are in the mood of Goswami tents, like Vanapras couples, those who are over with Kriyasa life, they come and stay here, Goswami types like that. And in one place, Prabhupada mentioned something to the effect that if there's any difficulty that you are experiencing in managing this Vrindavan temple, the first place you must look is the kitchen. Because from the kitchen, it controls the entire consciousness of our campus. Who's cooking and in what consciousness they are cooking, and everyone is eating that cooking. First you look there. And the second place you must look is in the deity department. If they're chanting the rounds, whether they're chanting the rounds, doing the arti, you know, they're doing the sadhana. Because sometimes pujaris, they don't chant the rounds for a year, for months. They just do the pujari service. He even said you can hire a pujari. Like that. But you, he said, only one person you cannot hire. You cannot hire a preacher. But he said, for this purpose, you should look there in the kitchen, who's cooking and in what consciousness they are cooking. Then your problem will be solved. Like that. And this is there, you know, in that sense, like that. But as far as possible, if we can get devotees to cook, would be the first class thing. Devotees to cook. As practical as possible. Okay, let's move ahead. No questions. Yes? You had your hand up too, right? Tell us.
Okay, this is famous pastime. Prabhupada takes a vada from a vada vendor and he says the Swami never goes hungry.
I don't know the pastime. He's saying that in relation to prasad, sometimes they say Sri Vishnu, Sri Vishnu, Sri Vishnu. Or they chant the Maha Mantra several times. If you have time, then you can do the full offering prayers. I'm not sure where that came from. I asked the people. When I joined, you know, after Prabhupada left in the early 80s, we never heard of such a thing. Probably came later on. I never heard of such a thing. I don't know where it came from. I can't comment on it because I don't know. The origin was not there during Srila Prabhupada's times and then it's from his disciples. The last minute, they don't know. This question comes up. We do the full offering prayers. Just as we can. There's only one exception. The highest exception is that you can break a lesser rule for the higher rule. And the highest rule is the preacher. For example, what is the first offense to the holy name? To blaspheme? Propagating the holy name of the Lord. Yes, this type of offense is specifically referred to preachers. It doesn't say just to blaspheme the devotees. It says specifically who have dedicated their lives in propagating the holy name. It specifically referred to preachers. So if you see a preacher doing something that's breaking a lesser rule for a higher rule, don't blaspheme. You have to be careful. Usually a preacher has a special prerogative. Because he's so busy preaching the glories of the holy name and spreading Krishna consciousness, so if he doesn't follow some rule fully because he is busy preaching, don't blaspheme. Don't blaspheme. He's so busy preaching that he doesn't have sufficient time to eat properly. Like that. So when he's taking his lunch, he says, I got to go to a preaching engagement. And then the person who's serving him, you know, but you didn't say the Sarira Vijaya prayer. Just serve me, just serve me. I have to go. You know, I have to go. You understand the point? A preacher is so busy in the mission of the Lord, that he may break a lesser rule for the higher rule of being engaged in the preaching mission. So that that offense to the holy name in relation to Sadhu Ninda refers specifically to the preacher. Because we have a tendency sometimes of seeing something that a preacher is doing and it's not according to the rule. Be careful. First find out, oh, he's a preacher. You have to be careful. He is a preacher. He is dedicating his life. And a preacher, he or she pushes the tide of Kali back. When a preacher pushes the tide of Kali back, when you push a tide backwards, what does the tide do? It comes with more force. That's a preacher. It comes with more force. Like that. So the preacher is in a more risky position to fall into Maya than someone who's not preaching. So make his life easier, make our life easier. So sometimes they may break a lesser rule for a higher rule. So if you see Prabhupada popping one rasagula in his mouth in front of Mother Jamuna in the kitchen, so don't, Prabhupada, you know, he's not off it. This happening. Like that. But not off it. Like that. Then she tells Prabhupada, like you told me that whenever I do something I should wash my hand, now you go wash your hand. So Prabhupada went wash his hand and came back. Like that. So a preacher has a special prerogative, provided he's a preacher, genuine preacher, engaged in the mission. Like that. So we have to be careful also, not to imitate, but to follow. Yes.
Myself and Shankar, and one of the devotees as well, we have been discussing around the offering of quote-unquote unhealthy prasad. The offering of unhealthy bhogas. So, for example, if something's very fancy, is it actually accepted by Krishna? And if it's not, does that mean that perhaps some centers or temples or somewhere that we're not actually eating prasad? Because of disparity or...
Okay. On page number 10. In the middle of the book, there are six kinds of rasas, tastes. You with me? Found it? We go down 2, 4, 6, 8, like 9 lines. As such, eating for sense gratification, including the use of extra quantities of spices like chili and tamarind, is to be given up by Krishna conscious persons. Now if you read carefully, it doesn't say you should not use chili and you should not use tamarind, but you should not use extra quantities of it. Is that okay? You can spice it, but not too spicy. Like that. So that should be sort of avoided for Krishna conscious persons. Is that alright?
Does that mean that it's not offered if it is? Does that mean that it's not accepted if a preparation is too spicy or...
It depends on the offering. Like for example, when you go to Andhra Pradesh, how many of you have been there? This state in India, you know, for them, it's normal to eat too spicy. But for you, as soon as you eat the food, you know, your lips turn into fire or something. Your mouth, you know, is hot. But for them it's normal. So what may be normal for one person may not be normal for another person. And Krishna accepts according to the normal consciousness of how they eat. Like that. Is that alright? Yes.
Maharaj, this is my personal experience. And I was living full time in my country.
One second. Bring that microphone. To save time. can pull the cord to you. Switch it on and speak.
In my temple.
In Indonesia.
Yes. I eat every day prasad cooked by some Bhadanis, even some Brahmacharis. So, and I heard about that information that we should be careful to accept the service from, you know, especially if we should check. So, how is it now? Discuss about it. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. We should see every woman as mother except one's wife if one is married. Are you aware of that? Yeah. So, a mother can cook for sons. A mother can cook for sons. So, it's not easy to see every woman as mother for a brahmachari. It's not easy to see every woman as mother on a practical level. You can get agitated by the form of a woman. It's not easy like that. But it is easy to see yourself as son. S-O-N, son. You reverse it. When you see them as mother, you're seeing the object. And you cannot see the object as mother. See? So then make yourself subjective and come to yourself. I cannot see you as mother, but I am your son. But I am your son. So you reverse that. You reverse that. So when you reverse that in the consciousness that I am your son, and if a Mataji cooks for you and you eat that in that consciousness, you will not be affected. You will not be affected. It's based on consciousness. Like that. When a Mataji is cooking in general, she's not only cooking for you, right? She's cooking for the community. So she's cooking for everyone. But you are affected individually, but not affected by her consciousness, because her consciousness is not like that. Her consciousness is she's cooking for everyone. But you are individually affected. Oh, Mataji cooked for me and I'm affected. No. You should change your consciousness. But if you cannot see her as mother, then you should see yourself as her son. Then you'll be okay. It's easier that way. Is that all right? Yes. Give him the microphone.
So we have to offer himself and devotion.
Yes.
And is the offering protect us? Just the ritual offering?
Yes. The best way to know that you're offered with love and devotion are two ways. One is that if you have nicely and sincerely tried your best to chant your minimum 16 rounds before you do the offering. Because the basis of any consciousness that determines your consciousness of your activity for anything, including book distribution, offering prasad, listing the deities, cleaning the temple, managing, advising devotees, counseling, whatever your service may be, like that. Just your consciousness is governed by way if you have chanted your 16 rounds. If you haven't chanted your 16 rounds, then that aspect of a devotional feeling may not be there. You may be expert materially, that's different. But we want the devotional consciousness to be there. So that's one, like that. And the second way to know that it has been offered with love and devotion is when the devotees tell you, what wonderful prasad. What tasty. You can judge by the persons who are honoring the prasad. There are two ways. These are the two principal ways.
So it's a standard. I mean, if you take something at the bakery in Mayapur, everyone, maybe the devotee cook.
All clothes.
All devotees cook, and first they chant around, and after they cook.
That's business. You go and you pay money for it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's not they are selling prasad. So their first priority is to get the prasadam on time to be sold. Whether they're chanting on the rounds or not, I don't know. In some cases, it may be unlikely they're chanting the rounds before they cook. They're selling prasad. So sometimes it is discussed that if you pay for something, then you don't hear it, the consciousness of the person that's selling it to you. You know, the prasad, you don't hear it. But if somebody is offering you prasad, then you take the consciousness.
So should we allow him to buy it?
Under the circumstances, if you have no choice, then you do it. Like that. We're not talking about standards in Mayapur, we're talking about in general, if you can allow yourself to be honoring prasadam that is cooked by devotees, ideally would be good. Is that okay? Yes. Yes, page 11.
Fifth, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught us to avoid very palatable dishes even while eating prasad.
Yes.
So Maharaj, like we have got festivals and feasts.
Mm-hmm.
In that case, and eating is not being overeating is there for palatable dishes. And here you state earlier sense gratification, enjoyment can be done for eating Krishna Prasad, it is an exception.
Yes.
So Maharaj, how to
Well, Srila Prabhupada continues to say, if we offer palatable dishes to the deity with the intention of eating such nice food, we are involved in trying to satisfy the demands of the tongue. If we offer palatable dishes. It's in connection with the sentence follows. Is it okay? Yeah. Next question.
Maharaj, I have five questions.
Five. See if you can pass that microphone. It's quite a long cord. We'll take the question that you wanted to ask me during the break first. First, only one question.
Hare Krishna. I have four circumstances and one question. In our general life, we deal with family, friends, relatives who are not devotees, and they prepare food, and if we go to their home, they give us food. So in that circumstances, what should we do?
How often is this? How frequent?
Twice a month, weekly.
Yes. You know, we should do is, although I should tell myself this first, we should learn to cook. I can't cook. But we should know how to cook. You know, by knowing how to cook, you can resolve a lot of things on your own. Like that. So if you go to a friend's place, a relative's place, you tell him, look, I want to cook. I would like to cook for everybody. Say, what? No, I'd like to cook. So you cook and you offer and then you feed.
They don't allow Maharaj. They say you have to eat, otherwise they get upset. Or they are saying, are you angry with us?
Yes, the actual thing to do is communicate. Now, when you communicate that you are a practicing devotee and this is your standard of how you eat and how you honor, this is your standard, like that. Some people may get upset. That's a natural consequence. Some people, and you may even lose relationships with people. like that. But first and foremost is that you have to protect your own consciousness and Krishna consciousness. So with that in the foreground, that I'm protecting my consciousness, I'm going to communicate to them, this is me. Please accept me as I am now. I have changed. I'm not like before. I have changed. So you have to communicate.
And if they told that you are becoming like a Mahatma, and you're not going to the society, what should I do to them?
Then naturally there'll be a polarization of relationships, and that polarization of relationships is protecting you. Is protecting you from them who want to contaminate you further. But eventually they will appreciate you. Over time they will appreciate you. So we have to give it that time also. Especially Indian families, they too attached, you know, like that.
Maharaj, my second circumstance is...
You have more questions, right? Can we come back to you and give others the chance?
Maharaj, you mentioned a little earlier that about avoiding the grain, particularly the grain. Now, in so many temples, we take muri.
There is like pre-cooked food, right? You're talking about pre-cooked.
Mori is, you know, cooked rice.
Yeah, it's pre-cooked.
It's fully cooked outside.
Yeah.
You get it in a bag.
Yeah. You get it in a bag.
Yeah.
If you can get the original the moodly rice and do it yourself, would be best. Doesn't take much time. Is that okay for an answer?
Yeah, it's good. But the only thing is, the devotees never seem to care about moodly.
Yeah, because they're used to this, you know. They're used to this just buying it off the thing, you know. You know, it's like, you know, getting some papri from that sweet shop in Govardhan town, you know. You know, I see even senior devotees. So you went to Govardhan, did you get some, what you call it, some papri, did you get? But I stood there one day and I was looking at this cook. You know, the cook, I looked at the guy, he went in the back, he passed water, he came back and he continued. In Govardhan town. But there's no prasadam that is better than ISKCON Krishna prasadam. I mean, our cooks are great. Like that. So, you know, try to do it yourself. You know, you can do it one shot and then it will last for many days. That's what I advise. Yes?
It's a very broad question.
Mm-hmm.
But is it better to offer products which are made with non-hypsal milk?
It depends on the individual, that's one. In terms of their conviction internally, that's one point. Secondly, it takes a whole village, literally. It takes a whole village to bring up a devotee. But until and unless we have that kind of village, it takes a whole village to grow up a child or a family or a community. Until and unless we have that kind of village. Like to give you an example, with no offense meant to anybody like that. You know, we have a whole system of cow protection. But actual protection of the cows, according to how, you know, Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yasoda, you know, you could say the Krishna conscious life. It is not bridge bus life, it's Krishna conscious life. Is that they had cows at home. They had cows at home. So if we have our own cows, if devotees who have Vaishya tendencies, they keep cows as members of the family. You know, but then you have like, you know, a couple of hundred cows in a restricted area of say 2 or 3 acres, you know, well, what's that? You know? And you call that cow protection, that's not going to happen. Like that. So it takes a whole village to bring up this thing. Like that. So in the village you have your Vaishyas who have cows as members of their family. And from them you get that milk. So until and unless we have our own village, that's not going to happen. Then we are sort of inclined to still get milk by, in however way we get it. From the shop or from some other persons who have cows, and they may even send that cow for slaughter later on. And like that. Like that. Now we're having the idea of ahimsa milk ideally, because we want to take milk from cows that are not sent to slaughter. But the most ideal is to have your own village. And everything is okay. Under the circumstances, we may be forced to take milk. Like the other day on Gopuja, I went to the Goshala and I visited our ghee factory. We have a ghee place where they make their own ghee. So I asked the manager there, and where do you get your milk from? Some comes from Goshala, but some comes from outside. So to make our own ghee in our own community here, we have to get milk from outside. But if more of the cows stay with the Vaishyas, if there's Vaishyas living around here, devotees, more of the cows, instead of these high-rise buildings that's going up here, and like that, more of the cows that stay with the Vaishyas who stay here, then there's a tendency for the cow to give milk because he's a member of the family. And if the cow is not lived as a member of the family, then there's a tendency not to give milk, give less. A real affection comes by keeping the cow as a member of the family. Like Krishna and Balaram and Madhmadi Sudanan. That actually is Krishna conscious life in its core, in its essence, in its nucleus. So we can give so many reasons why we have to get milk there, but this is the essence. The essence is to have one's own village, one's own community, with everyone, the Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, the Vaishyas, things like that. Is that all right? Microphone. Put it on.
I haven't understood. I thought that hints were the grain only during Ekadashi day.
We avoid grain on Ekadashi day.
Yeah. But hints are also in the grain during all the day except Ekadashi day. Because some minutes ago you told us that we should avoid to eat rice if we can do it.
I mentioned, maybe to make it clear, I mentioned that if you want to eat food cooked by non-devotees and you have no choice, but you know you are hungry and you have nothing to eat as prasad, but if food cooked by non-devotees, try to eat first, you know, fruits and vegetables that are not cooked food or raw foods. If you cannot do that, then eat milk products. But try to avoid grains that are cooked by them. Because anything that goes through fire, the person who lights the fire, his consciousness determines the transformation of that product. See? Person who cooks it goes to fire, especially grains. So you try and avoid eating grains cooked by non-devotees. Ideally you should eat only things that are cooked by devotees, but if you have any special circumstance, exceptional situations. Alright?
Okay, Maharaj.
Mm-hmm. Is next. Go ahead.
Maharaj, there is a line where we say that a creature is beyond the clutches of death.
Yes.
How do I understand that?
A preacher lives eternally in the service of the Lord, life after life. A preacher lives eternally in the service of the Lord, life after life. That means there is a death experience, but he continues to preach. So therefore, he is beyond the clutches of death.
In that connection, like whenever a devotee gets initiated, it's mentioned that he attains deathlessness from that moment. So why is this preacher given, if a practitioner takes up for a pujari, he's doing pujari service, so will he not be beyond the clutches of death? What only special thing to preacher is because he's dear to Krishna like that?
Any devotee, even if he's not a preacher, but he's assisting the preaching mission. He's assisting the preaching mission. Srila Prabhupada made a statement, which I heard, from one book distributor. Srila Prabhupada said that distributing my books will please me. That is there. Of course, he said many things about pleasing him in different ways. Even in just chant Hare Krishna, that will please me also, Prabhupada said like that. But Prabhupada said, distributing my books will please me, but higher than book distribution is to organize the book distribution. That all the book distribution pleases me, but if you organize the book distribution, that pleases me more. Because you get more people out. So you're not directly preaching, but you're organizing the preaching. You organize. So that's also there. So in other words, if you are supporting the preaching, that's included. And essentially, ISKCON is a missionary movement. On all levels. On all levels. Even when the pujari is dressed the deities, then new people come and they get, oh, so beautiful, you know, attractive lot, like that. Go ahead, one of you.
I will. Maharaj, what was the Shastra, do you have the Shastra reference please for the quote you mentioned about the person who lights the fire transforms, it affects the transformation of the food? No,
the person who cooks the food, yeah, that means the person that's lighting the fire. Yeah. Who cooks the food, yeah. It could be, I'm not so sure, but I heard it from His Holiness Lokanath Swami and others, that you know, someone who lights the fire, but it could be from Hari Bhakti Vilas, from by Sanatana. It could be, it may not be there, but it could be. But it's important not to eat grains, it's well known, cooked by non-devotees, especially grains.
What's the difference between controlling the tongue and controlling the belly?
Don't try to control the belly, just control the tongue. For example, you could say in one sense, I say this, a non-devotee or materialist eats for the tongue. See? A sadhu eats for his stomach. See the difference? In other words, if the stomach is satisfied, then that will nourish the entire body, not the tongue. But if you're eating for the taste of the tongue, then you may overeat and be a problem. Like that. So therefore, a sadhu eats for the stomach. But you know, in ISKCON we can overeat. You know, there's feasts and that. Especially young devotees, you know, those who are new to Krishna consciousness, you should feed them so much that they overeat, and they feed them right up to the neck and they walk out like ducks, you know. Trying to find a balance. You can eat your way back to Godhead. It's a wonderful thing. This makes the Mayavadis and the Vairagis and the Tapasvis, you know, what is this? This cannot be spiritual. in the vairagyas and the tapasvis, those who perform austerities and penances and so forth, and the yogis and all that. What is this? No, we can eat our way back to Godhead. Even if you, we did some Namamrit program, and in there we had quotations that even if you chant the holy name, Krishna becomes obligated to you. And even if you do not remember Krishna, because Krishna is obligated, he'll be there at the time of death. And sometimes some devotees cannot chant at the time of death. You have one tulsi leaf in your mouth. That is all. You'll be situated back home, back to Godhead. You may not go straight away, but you'll be situated on the path. Yes?
About honoring Krishna, can you speak about that subject? What is the difference?
Hold it closer.
Enjoy, is he enjoy or is he respect Krishna? What is our mood?
It's like, you know, it's a few, there's a few things which I wanted to discuss later on, but I'll just say it now. You know, there's, within Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, there is a type of Raganuga for us. There's Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti also within Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, like that. For example, I mean, if you look forward to deity darshan, you know, before the curtain opens, and you know, you look forward to it, right? It's just like a spontaneous thing. And when the deities are open, the curtains are open, you know, your eyes may go to a particular part of the altar, always, you know, naturally, spontaneously, like you may see Krishna's mukha, Krishna's crown. Or somebody may say, oh, let's see the dress, you know, Radharani's dress, and, you know, like that. Or somebody wants to see Giriraj, you know, first, and let me see Giriraj first, you know, on the altar. So after you have appeased your spontaneity, which is Raganuga, spontaneous, Anuga, Rag, it's a Rag, you know, there's a feeling. After you have appeased your spontaneity, and this easily comes within Sadhana Bhakti, because it's Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti. So after you appease your spontaneity, then you can follow the rule and regulations. Look from your left to the right. And then from the Guru Parampara, then look from your left to the right. And you go upwards. That's the rule. But appease your spontaneity first. Like that. How many of you are attracted to kirtan? Spontaneously, naturally. Right? That's Raganuga. Who can say it's not Raganuga to be attracted to kirtan? Like that. So you enjoy the kirtan. Like that. So how many of you are attracted to prasad? That's Raganuga. It's all Raganuga. Within sadhana bhakti. It's all Raganuga. In fact, if you get someone, if you get a devotee that's so hungry, and you put prasadam in front of him, his Raganuga is so great that he forgets to chant Sarira Vitija. He just like, takes the prasad. Let him be. Let him be. Relishes the prasad, enjoys the prasad. So there are a few things like that. Like some devotees are like attached to reading Prabhupada's books, attached. It's like every spare time they get, you know. They, sometimes when you read, you don't know your neck pains, you know. It's like you're reading, you don't know there's pain in the neck, but you're attached. You're going for hours. It's a Raganuga. Attached. Rag means deeply attached. Like that. So that's fine. I wanted to discuss this later on, you know, in Raganuga itself. Practical Raganuga for us in ESKCON. Right. Next. Okay, we give you the microphone, then we give it back to you.
It is said that we should control the jiva or the tongue, or just the tongue by eating the prasad. But still we can see that we need to control our mind in eating the some quantity of the prasad. So can you refer something to this level of control?
Yes. We are fortunate on the earthly planet that our best friends are old age and disease. They take care of that. Old age and disease naturally controls your tongue in terms of limiting how much you eat. It'll take care of that on its own. And old age and disease is so nice that you can sometimes give up eating, sleeping, mating. The defending part may be a little difficult, false ego, but you can easily give up eating, sleeping and mating. And then you're coming closer to, you know, giving up this body and the proper consciousness. But there was one devotee, amazing personality. His Holiness Sridhar Swami. I mean, I knew him personally in various ways like that. He loves pizzas. And he was banned from eating pizzas by the doctor. He was banned. He says, you cannot do this. He was having hepatitis C and he couldn't eat pizzas like that. And one time he said, to hell with the doctor. Bring the pizza. And he got more sick. He said, that's okay. Let me do what I, you know, let me enjoy Krishna consciousness. Very jolly person. Oh, you have to give him the microphone. You put his hand up. You know, Srila Prabhupada makes spiritual life so easy for us. Like that. I mean, what we do, I mean, even after I served in Vrindavan, I used to stay in Mayapur for like 4 or 5 months in a row here before I took sannyas. I used to stay. And I used to go to the Gaudiya Math. And I go to the Gaudiya Math temples and go to that. And talk to them and see how they do. It's dry. It's absolutely dry. It's like when you go there, it's like you have to inject life in there, you know. You know, they actually don't know how to relish eating. Prabhupada gave us this. So one Gaudiya Math sannyasi comes every day for the 4 o'clock darshana, older one with the bicycle. You see him coming like that. So one time I stopped him and, you know, I stopped him and I can't speak Bengali, so I asked the other devotee. You have to translate like that. So I said, why you come here? Why do you come here every day for the afternoon darshan, 4:30, every day he's here. Sing all the deities, offers full dandavas to Prabhupada every day. You've seen him?
Yeah.
On a bicycle?
Yeah.
Gaudiya Math. Very nice person. So one day I asked him, why do you come here? Like that. Said, best, he put his hand like that, they do like that. He said, best Sringar, best. Because the other devotee was translating like that. He knew few words, so he knows the English word best. He said, best Sringar. Best, every day, best. It's true, we have the best deities in the world, best dressing, best outfits, everything best. Like we have the Mayapur Academy, you know, next door. They teach. It's high, very high standards. Very wonderful. Like that. So best deity worship, best of everything, best of prasad. It originated. There's no precedent to this. There's no precedent. It originated in ISKCON on the Prabhupada's mercy. No precedent to that. So we are most fortunate. Yes?
Oh, Maharaj, when we purchase the sweets and snacks from Karmi shop and we offer to our Lattu Gopal at home, can we eat that?
It's best to make your own sweets.
If we in general temple,
people
purchase sweets from a
Kalpi
shop.
No, you, specifically for you. Don't worry about the other people.
But my desire comes to eat when my parents bring sweets from a Kalpi shop and offer to
them. Best you make your own sweets. Best to make your own sweets.
And the third is to use my own utensils for cooking food or can use my parents.
If it's stainless steel, you can wash them clean and they won't feel offended. Yeah, but you can wash the stainless steel, it's not contaminated, it's clean. But if you want to have your own utensils, it's better. But you have to explain to them. It's better.
And Bharat, when you have started this class, you said that mind and sense urges could be tolerated or finish. When we are dominating it or living this present material body and through Krishna consciousness,
yes.
when we offer our mind and senses to Krishna. Now my question is, when we are chanting or doing kirtan, after 6 hours, 7 hours, we feel hungry and thirsty. So how should we control this?
So you go and take some prasad and take some water and come back into the kirtan.
So it is not finishing, Maharaj. The senses, urges are not finishing.
If you have a young body, you may need to take more prasad and more juices and water. So do it, provided it's prasad.
So how can we minimize or reduce this?
Don't minimize. Our process of Krishna consciousness is not one of detachment from things that we are attached to. No. Krishna consciousness means yukta vairagya mucchate. In other words, we have to dovetail. If you're hungry, eat prasad.
So
the
eating and sleeping will be with us till our last
sleep. Srila Prabhupada gave one devotee a prerogative. That one devotee, but I can repeat it for you. Srila Prabhupada said, if you eat and sleep the whole day, provided you chant minimum 16 rounds. Provided you chant minimum 16 rounds. You can eat and sleep the whole day. Provided you chant minimum. He gave one disciple that prerogative. Not generally, but in that sense. Like that. Provided you chant minimum 16 rounds. But at the same time, there's a problem with that. Because if you just eat and sleep, then the mind is going to give you a lot of trouble. Isn't it? The mind is going to give you a lot of trouble. Because for how long can you sleep? The body can only take rest for so long. Otherwise you're just lying down there and the mind is taking over. In that sense. So better to be engaged in some practical service after chanting minimum 16 rounds. Is that alright? No, eating and sleeping propensity will be taken away by old age and disease. They are our best friends. We are fortunate. They are not available in the heavenly planets. They are available here. Old age and disease. They are very good for us. The more the body is inconvenienced, the closer you can come to understand that you're spirit soul. The quicker. You can understand that you're spirit soul. The body will be giving you so many inconveniences that you will not help it, but naturally come to be transcendental. Then you come, oh, so what, this is the body. But then you go ahead, like that.
Thank you.
Okay.
Ghosts have the suffering on the mental
factor.
You say when inconvenience to the body, then only the functions. So that suffering on the body is not only suffering on the mental platform, you know, that also be
On the subtle platform, when the body is becoming inconvenienced due to old age and disease, the mind becomes weak. The mind becomes weak, and the intelligence becomes strong and wiser. That's good. Then one comes more onto the spiritual platform. See, the mind requires a facility, which is the senses and the body in general. If the mind doesn't have the facility, then it can't do much. It can't do much. So it becomes weakened, it becomes softened. And for a devotee, he knows, you know, the mind is giving some trouble, but it's a useless thing. I can't really enjoy this world. My body is finished. So what? For a devotee. But non-devotees suffer like anything. Non-devotees suffer like anything. They can't enjoy on the gross platform, and they still try to. They can't. Right. What do you call that? Senile? Yeah. They have gross desires, but the facility is not there to enjoy them through. So they suffer like anything. So therefore, in that sense, old age and disease are friends for a devotee. Microphone there.
I just have a small clarity regarding what exactly we have to do in order to make the process Krishna conscious, because from one point of view there is instruction to not to worry about the beauty of the things. You know, if it's Krishna conscious, make it, you know, nice and smooth and just offer it to Krishna, and then it will become
wonderful. You're talking about bhoga? Cooking?
Bhoga or music or anything.
Okay.
And from the other side, there is in this purport, Srila Prabhupada writes, Srila Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught us to avoid very palatable dishes, even while we're eating prasadam. So, should we avoid or should we connect?
But you read the next sentence. If we offer palatable dishes to the deity with the intention of eating such nice food, we are involved in trying to satisfy the demands of the tongue. We should offer Krishna the best. You agree?
Best for Krishna or best for us?
For Krishna. Offer Krishna the best. We have to offer Krishna the most opulent prasad, offer opulent bhoga. You agree?
Yeah, sure.
Yes. So in the formative stages of Krishna consciousness, in the beginning stages of Krishna consciousness, we may enjoy the prasadam. That is normal. It is not abnormal. Like that. In the mature stage of Krishna consciousness, we honor the prasad. That okay? So when we say palatable dishes, it's that when we honor the prasadam, oh, such nice Krishna has tasted. Like that. So when we enjoy the prasad, it's for the tongue. But in the beginning stages, we cannot help it. In the formative stages of Krishna consciousness, in your growing stages in Krishna consciousness, you relish and enjoy the prasad, that's fine. But in the mature stage, you know, you honor the prasad. It's a grave, serious spiritual activity.
So is the meaning that you in the more advanced stages you can honor any prasad, whether it is,
yes, even if it's palatable
or not palatable.
Or not palatable, you can honor it. But usually all prasadam is palatable.
So why this instruction then, avoid the very palatable? Why is it going up?
Why
is this instruction?
Is to remove the enjoying mentality and bring in the honoring mentality. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, quoted by Srila Prabhupada, when the Mahaprasad used to come to him, he used to taste each preparation individually. He used to do that as an acharya so that he can correct his cooks to cook, you know, in a better way. There are two things. One is the devotion and the cooking, and the other is the cooking itself. Is that okay? I mean, you cannot put extra salt and cook the vegetables raw. Like that. So he was doing that. He was looking at the cooking part. Like that. But then one day he saw that the brahmacharis, the young brahmacharis, they were actually enjoying the prasad, the mahaprasad, they were enjoying. And then from that day on, he made a statement. He said, when you take the mahaprasadam to the brahmacharis, you mix it all up. You know this, right? It's famous. You mix it all up. You put the sweets, you put the sour items, you put the astringent items, you put the rice, you put the chapati, everything, mix it all up and give it to them. So when they asked him why, you know, before it should come in separate, you know, we should, he said, do not enjoy, honor. It's the same food, it's the same thing. It's, you know, it's delicious items you offer to the Lord. We all offer the best. Like that. And cooked, you know. Cooked the best way with devotion, plus the cooking is good. Like that. But when we take it, in the mature stage, you'll actually honor. Like that. You'll find that old age and disease is very good for this. You know, like, you know, if the rasagula comes the second time, third time, you know, you will say no, not with the view of hankering for more. Because you know that, you know, I'm old now. You know, you will refuse. But a young person, bring more, you know. Like that. So when you mature, then it becomes honoring prasad.
So should we strive for a more simple prasad?
No. Just leave it to old age and disease. It will come naturally. You know, there's one thing you cannot hold back from the devotees. You cannot tell the devotees, eat less. It's their only sense gratification. Give it to them. prasad. That okay? All right, other questions you have? At the back there. I think you have to come forward for the mic. It may not reach you fully. Oh, you have it, okay.
When I'm doing book distribution, sometimes I go just for fun, I will sell that book, you know, Infallible Law, every action has reaction. I go to the butcher shop. But if he reads it, I mean, I can't help him. I can't advise him. If he calls me back later on, I got, this is my life, this is my business. And I mean, I found the book. He's paid to Lakshmi. That's his beginning of his spiritual life. But for practical, like, development, or just for practical dealings, I mean, how would you deal with such a person?
Again, there are two things. One is that if you have your own village, you can invite him to live in the village and give him employment, but not, and leave that job of killing animals or selling, you know, selling meat. If you have your own village, you can invite him to come like that. In other words, if you cannot give him a positive alternative to have a sustenance, you know, to earn for a living for his family, if you cannot give him that positive alternative, then you have just helped him to take to Krishna consciousness, because in his next life, because in this life he cannot do anything more. He doesn't know. So he has to pass this life, leave this body, and that book will carry him over in the next life to become a living. He has to start afresh anew, a new life. But if you can change him in the present life, then you have to have the facility to offer him. Like that. Therefore, it's sort of, in one sense, sometimes I feel it sort of requires, you know, it requires great visionaries in this movement. It requires visionaries to actually implement Daivi Varna Ashram, to implement, you know, things like that. It requires great spiritual leadership to actually make these things work. I think I heard this a number of times from different disciples of Prabhupada. I don't know what they said, but they said something like, there's no immediate reference to it, but it sort of makes some sense. And Srila Prabhupada, they said, Srila Prabhupada said something to the effect that if you have 11 towns or villages or cities, you know, that's according to, you know, when you enter that place, you know you have to follow. You don't have to tell people to practice Krishna consciousness. Anybody who enters, they know they cannot eat meat. No intoxication, no gambling, no illicit activity. And all that. The immediate, by that tejas, by that spiritual power of the residents of that place, they know they cannot do this. You know, like there's no question of divorce, you know, that type of things. Like that. And everyone has a good support system. Something like Srila Prabhupada said, I heard this, that if you have 11 such places in different strategic positions in the world, 11, I don't know why the number 11, or maybe 18, I'm not sure. He said you can take over the world in 18 days. It'll be such powerful places that it'll affect the nearby villages and cities, it'll affect. Like that. So in that sense, you know, just giving the book is not sufficient. You got to help the person to live the book. You know? You got to have alternative means to give him subsistence and so forth. In that sense. I think His Holiness Shivaram Swami Maharaj and the project in Hungary. They have a lot of land and they have families and so forth, right? Yeah. Something to that effect, if you have it effects. And you can see there, he's also having positive effect on the government and so forth, right? He's having positive effect with the non-devotees. And actually the non-devotees are not so demoniac. They even give you more facility for the same thing to spread. You know, they give you more facility to spread. Like that, see? Imagine entering a place where there's no mental illness. Now that's Vaikuntha. There's no mental anxiety, there's no mental illness. That's the place we're talking about. And enter that place and you feel completely free from the burden of material existence. Like that. So, you know, it's correct, book distribution is not sufficient. People have to see a living example of those books, you know, and they can enter into it. Is that all right? We'll take one more question and we'll complete in 5 minutes.
And Vishwa Maharaj.
Yes.
There is an episode in Mahabharata where Lord Krishna was going to Hastinapura to talk to the Pandavas and the Kuravas. Duryodhana invited him, he prepared the best of prasad. So Lord Krishna went to Akura's house and the wife...
Vidura.
Vidura's house.
Yes.
And the wife was offering Krishna banana, throwing the real banana and filling Krishna with, with the pills. What is the significance of this episode?
The significance of the episode that in the ecstasy of serving Krishna you may forget what you are doing. And Krishna accepts that service rather than the item itself in the ecstasy of it. It's a very high level which cannot be imitated. Very high level. Cannot be imitated. But Srila Prabhupada also warned us, for us sadhakas, that, you know, Vidura and his wife are associates of the Lord. They are associates of the Lord, so they're not in the same category as we are, like that. We should first be conscious in order to be properly Krishna conscious. You understand that? We should be conscious in our activities in Krishna consciousness. It's not that we can imitate and offer Krishna banana peels instead of the banana itself. You know, in that sense, like that. See? And the lesson to be learned is that Krishna did not accept the opulence of Duryodhana rather than the simplicity he accepted of Vidura and his family. He accepted the simplicity. You know, he's not bribed by opulence in that sense. Is that okay? All right. We'll meet tomorrow for text number 2. Who's the team? Okay. And text number 3 should also be in readiness in case we overlap 2 texts. You know, we have time and we go into the next text. Is that all right? So when I'm saying text number 2, who's text number 3? Who's the team? You should also be in readiness for tomorrow. And when we say text number 3, then text number 4 should also be in readiness for the next day. Is that all right? And those of you who came for the first time today, like our Ekalavya, you can be in a team. They already approached you with the Rida Chaitanya. And the Nityananda Ram, yes. Good.
Let's open the question number 1.
Okay. He's going to tell you now, you turn to page number, what page number is that? Open book assessment for Nectar of Instruction. He's going to tell you which one to do.
Question number 1 on the open book assessment.
What page is that? Page 99.
So question number 1, you can contemplate on that question. for the next few days and you can start writing. So you'll be done before the course ends.
Now, can you tell them how many questions they'll have to complete there?
Just one.
Only one in the whole thing?
Yes.
So you have only one open book assessment question?
Only one question you have to complete.
And that's your next question?
Yes.
Just any one.
Not any one.
Just question number one.
What the words begin with? Question number one? The words?
Discuss the importance of control.
Discuss the importance of? Controlling the? Oh, we did that thoroughly today. How many pages if it's like 5 or 10 words?
You printed in A4 and just one full page.
You mean printed in A4 one full page by a 12-point text when you type it in?
Yeah.
So written would be about 2 pages. Anyway, work it out, 500
words. Sometimes make them a 1.5 page.
So can we email it or do we need to print it?
I think there's number one, this is a hard copy. Some other teachers may you'll see them. Either they send me, you know, soft copy, but I think Krishna Prabhu prepared hard copy. So you can type and print.
So you can hand it over by Friday, what time?
By 12:30.
Not this Friday?
Next Friday
at the end of the session of when we do class.
Okay. Where are we from? Here.
Long building, room number 111. There is a computer cafe. You can do your typing, print your stuff, anything, copy, everything can be done. Any questions? So, closed book or access will be Friday morning or Saturday? It
can be Friday.
Friday afternoon.
At 4 o'clock or so?
4 o'clock.
What date is that Friday?
15,
yes. Would they give appropriate reference to text number 1, verse number 4 in your response? Does that mean that we are not supposed to refer to other verses from Bhagavad Gita or other places? Or?
I would say
you can. You can use other scriptures also. You can use other books and other verses. That's fine.
Yeah, basically we were told whatever references are there in the purport, you can utilize them.
But you can expand that.
Yes.
Even if you refer with other references, that's fine. That means you're reading more, which is a credit. Yeah. Yeah, keep it to Prabhupada's translation.
And regarding slogan, I first want to make sure you memorize everything. It's not a test. You simply memorize and just tell me. And that will be done at the end, once you memorize the whole thing.
No.
Yeah, you finish this unit sloka, you finish, you know, within next week. And then every unit, as we move, you just memorize that unit sloka, if you can.
He is saying that it's easier for you to go unit by unit, it will be less verses to memorize and get over it. And memorize verses for negative instruction. I complete the testing with him before Friday next week, and then you over with that. Then the next unit, and then you over with that. If you don't get tested for negative instruction by next Friday, you have to be tested, but you're accumulating your verses to be tested. You can only absorb so many at certain time.
Yeah, last year what I did was, I let them memorize everything, and then toward the end, like in February, when the course starts to finish, and then just before that, and, you know, they would come and ask me to look at it, you know.
But that's a lot. That's a lot. Unlike him, you know, he's a Sanskrit fundi. You know, he's an expert. It's easy for him. But for most people to learn Sanskrit verses is not easy. Not easy. So take it part by part. And he's very lenient. All you have to do is bring some Mahaprasad and some Dakshina. You know?
Would you have some tips to
Dravida Prabhu and some other devotees have prescribed some tips how to memorize them. I don't have my own. I never needed any. you can see those tips and try. If you need any, if you need help with the words or sloka or something, you really find difficulty, you can ask me and we'll work on that. Yeah,
there you go. He's merciful.
Maharaj, but at the end of the 5th unit, you'll be tested again on any of the participants.
You'll be tested overall again?
Yeah.
You'll be tested twice?
Yeah.
Overall testing again?
And that's why I keep them all tested at the end.
No, that's a Krishna Prabhu test. After every unit, you'll be tested for the verses of that unit. At the end of that 5th unit, you'll be tested for all.
For all 4 books?
Not all of them, but they will ask very few of them.
For all four books. Yeah.
At the end, overall testing.
Yeah, but it could be random, any one of them.
But they are merciful, don't worry. They'll ask you, sometimes they'll ask you which verses you still remember. Like that. He'll do like that. We don't want to become like Prabhupada was also careful with. We should know how to pronounce Sanskrit, in the morning classes and so forth like that, but not that we become expert Sanskrit people or something. Prabhupada was practical. So they know that. Don't feel intimidated. Don't feel, I have to still know all these verses after all this. Don't feel like that. They'll put you at ease, comfortable. When I used to test verses, maybe I'll give him a hint. When I used to test verses, in the Bhakti Shastri and Bhakti Vaibhav here, so I'll ask them, what's the verse? So I'll give them the verse number and give them the first few words. So it comes clicks, So they'll tell you the verse. Then I said, look, you don't know the verse well, huh? He said, yes. I said, go next door. I'm giving you 15 minutes. Learn this verse well and come back and tell me. Now, when they go next door and they have 15 minutes, they learn the verse well. And they come back and it's fresh, It's fresh in them. Now tell me the verse. Okay. So I do that. Just to encourage them. Because they don't know which verse you're going to be tested on. Overall. Like that. So now, overall now, if you don't know the verse well, go next door. 15 minutes you have. Okay, come back in half an hour. You need more than? Come back in half an hour. Learn that particular verse and come back. So that way you encourage them. Like that. Nobody fails in verse test. Nobody fails. Because you're trying your best under the circumstances. You know what to do.
Okay, one thing more. During prasadam, we need somebody devotee to carry and serve. Let's have a serving mode always. And in the line, prasadam line, let senior devotees go first. And we take that.
And do you have chairs there? Some people cannot sit on the floor. You have chairs, right?
Yes.
But how they hold the plate, I don't know. Maybe they need 2 chairs. Yeah. Some of them need to sit on chairs. All right, anything else from the administration? Yes? Something?
Just to make it clear, when is that can we happen?
Next Friday afternoon, 4 o'clock. 15.
Yeah, and the open book must be handed in the same day by the end of the session, by midday or so. All right, thank you very much. We look forward to your association again tomorrow in this forum at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Ananta Kori Vaishnava Vrinda ki jai. Give me that black bag and that packet.